I'm Harold Fisher. We're talking tonight with D.C. Public Schools Chancellor Antoine Wilson, new to the city, new to the job. Lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. CJ, calling from Northeast D.C., thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Yes, good evening. Thank you, Chancellor, for coming on to the program tonight. DCPS brought a program, a reading program, to the city. I have had some challenges with my son in reading, and DCPS brought a program called Linda Move Bell into the system. And because of some of the changes that have, administration changes that have gone, I would love to see that program come back to the district. The children, parents, and me advocating for it in the elementary school, the children, reading scores, went skyrocketed. So I would love to see that program come back to the city.
Can you say the name of the program again?
It's Linda Mood Bell, and they are going to be working, I think, over at talking to the Ron Brown community. But Linda Mood Bell has done a lot of work in the city, and I think DCPS got $500,000 to bring that program into the city a couple of years ago, and this is the first year that they have not been in any of the school districts. And they started at Minor Elementary School, C.S. Harris Elementary School. So they've been at Hearst Elementary School. So you can tell I've been following them for quite some time. But I'm very concerned because my son is now in the sixth grade at Deal Middle School, and they only have two reading teachers at that school. And
well,
CJ,
if I may, let me see if the chancellor can at least try to address your question. And I will tell you, he's jotting down notes, so he obviously engaged. Chancellor Wilson.
Yeah, thank you. It's extremely important to us, certainly, that our students who need additional support get it in reading. And so I will follow up. I was just writing the information down to make sure that I understand the history of that particular program. I do know that the district has brought in some, starting in elementary, some research-based programs. Actually, reading recovery being one of the programs the district has brought in, which has pretty much the strongest research base in the country in terms of accelerating students and getting them back on grade level quickly. And that's one, and then others. I'll look into this one.
Right, CJ, thank you so much for sharing with us. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Monica calling from Capitol Heights. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Well, first of all, good evening to you both.
Hi,
and
how are you?
Welcome, Chancellor Wilson.
Thank you.
My name is Monica James, and I'm currently an educational aide with DCPS. My question to you, sir, I'm currently a student at UDC, and I'd like to know, could you implement a mentorship program for people such as myself? We're educational aides, but I'm also going to school to become a teacher. And I feel, you know, it would be kind of great to, you know, for those of us that want to continue to work in DCPS, to have like a mentorship program to kind of springboard us and kind of guide us into becoming teachers with DCPS. And also with that, you know, comes classes. And, you know, is there any type of way that we could use our experience or, you know, to kind of help us get credit with our classes or vice versa?
Mr. Chancellor.
Yeah, thank you. I really appreciate you calling in. And I think that the idea is an excellent idea. It is actually something we are talking about, and that is how we make it easier for our aides who are interested in becoming teachers. And we would love to have as many of them as interested as possible, how we support them in that process. And so that is something that we are talking about as a district. And then also, I think in terms of your last question around credit, that's something we would have to work out with university partners. But just again, to reiterate the point that you made around the path to the classroom, that is something that we are in process of discussing how to make that easier.
Monica, thank you so much. Good luck to you, by the way.
Thank you.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're talking to D.C. Public Schools Chancellor Antoine Wilson, new to the job, new to the district. If you have a question or comment, please give us a call. James, calling from D.C., what's on your mind?
Yes. My name is James, and the reason why I'm calling, first of all, congratulations, Chancellor Wilson, on your promotion.
Thank you.
And all your coming to Chancellor in the district. My question is, as a seasoned, certified teacher, I'm certified to teach visual arts in the District of Columbia, and I have not been able to get an interview since 2009, since I was ripped in 2009. And I was wondering, and I've tried as recently as December of 2016 to get an interview, even to start back off as a substitute. And the office or the number in which I applied to, it was for new people coming into the system or people that were interested in becoming long-term subs. I never even got a response from the system. And I called and I spoke with a young lady, and she said, "Man, what's your name?" And then she put me on hold, and then she came back, and her rationale for lack of a better word, was, oh, well, it was the holiday, and which was the deadline was December the 14th.
Well, James, let me stop you there before you get too much into some of the details. We've got a lot of calls on what should someone, particularly, you know, some of those teachers of which there were many, many that went through that RIF process in 2009 and 10. What should they do if they're trying to get back into the system?
Yeah, I think that in terms of this particular question, you know, obviously I wouldn't know exactly what happened then. I think it would just be important in terms of response. If he reached out, you can email me at Chancellor at dc.gov, and then we can connect him and make sure he gets a response to his question. We have a human resources, a talent division in the district, and folks should definitely reach out directly to them. And if I can be a connector, in my office be a connector, I'm happy to do so.
Are you hiring?
We are always looking for talented educators. I think it's extremely important that we are providing our students with access to great educators who are going to be committed to our mission to ensure that our students all graduate from high school, college, and career ready.
Okay. James, thank you so much for your phone call. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Before I go back to the phone lines, you mentioned earlier about equity. And if you've been following the District of Columbia and its school system, you know that one of the headline issues is gentrification. The demographics are changing. D.C. is no longer Chocolate City. You know, some would even, you know, call it Mocha Latte. There are some things that are changing, even and particularly east of the river. How would you address equity as D.C. continues the change under gentrification?
Yeah, thank you. Well, first and foremost, I think it's about supporting the initiatives that were championed by Chancellor Henderson to raise quality and opportunity throughout the district, first of all. So just making sure we have a very high expectation as to what's available in our schools, the types of programs that are available, access to teaching resources, so on and so forth. So we want to continue the work that has happened there, make sure that it is pervasive in every corner of our district so that no student goes without, no teacher goes without, they get the support they need. That's the first step. And then after that is about looking at what the individual needs are at schools and then with groups of students and making sure that those students get more so that they have every opportunity to reach the same high expectations we have for all students. So we want all students. I think that's really important to recognize. I think recognizing that change happens in cities. We just want to make sure the change isn't a change that excludes the historical residents. We want to make sure that students, families who have a legacy here, that they continue to thrive here. And if we're going to do that, we need to make sure that those who need additional resources, maybe they need additional supports for tutoring, maybe they need additional support for preparing for college, maybe they need some family engagement supports so that they can connect with the school in a deeper way. We want to make sure as a district that we're providing those supports to those families and to those schools that need more of that so that they can actually reach the expectations and the goals that we have for the students.
Do you know what the per student cost for educating in the district happens to be? That's not a trick question. I know that, you know, that, but that is something that I know a lot of educators are often concerned about in this region.
Yeah, well, DC has one of the highest per pupil allocations in the country. In terms of the actual cost, true cost, there's a lot into that. I mean, it depends on what we would determine would be a part of a basic education in terms of that we would want all students to have. I would say that DC being one of the higher per pupil districts in the country, once you put in all of the local funds, the federal funds, all of the money that goes into the capital program, I believe it's over $15,000-$16,000 per pupil that we are allocating. Just to, in contrast, in comparison, in California, it's just under $9,000 per pupil, and that is the world's seventh wealthiest economy, maybe even be higher now. I would never say we have all that we need, but we have a lot here in D.C. to do the job that we need to get done. Now, that is not to say that we don't have more work to do to make sure that those resources are going to work for us the way we need them to go to work to meet the needs of every child.
Thank you for that. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Darryl calling from Southeast D.C. What's on your mind, Darryl?
This is Darryl. Thanks for having me. I was calling, okay, because I graduated out of Anacostia High School in 1979. And during that time, there was a lot of programs offered. When I say there's a lot of programs, it was Howard University had a program in Georgetown, Upper Banner. I graduated from that also. Make a long story short, I was interested in knowing it's they still are instituting this program, Upward Bound program, because it was a very helpful program. Also, the Howard University summer program was good to me also, where I took up a health careers exploration. And my thing is, I was just interested in knowing if they still institute these programs to help. I guess you can say I come from a minority area. Mm. Out in Southeast D.C.
Okay, Mr. Chancellor.
I'm a little well off now, you know.
Let me see if Chancellor Wilson can at least address part of that. Chancellor Wilson.
Yeah, what I would say is I'd have to check on specifically the Howard Upper Bound program. I do know Upper Bound is still a program that is being implemented as part of the TRIO programs nationally. And so I'd have to check specifically on the Howard piece. I will say that the district has invested significant dollars, millions of dollars, in college and career readiness programs to help students and their families complete the federal financial aid form to help students apply for college. We invest significantly in helping students travel abroad to learn about the various careers, internships, so on and so forth. Now, I want to do more of that. I want to make sure that every student is getting support to prepare for college and career, and they begin learning about that, certainly by middle school. I would love for students to begin to get an indoctrination to what that's about in elementary school. We have some of that has started in the district, and we want to deepen that work.
I need to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk to Eunice in Northeast D.C. I have more questions. Lines are still open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We'll be back in just a moment. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We're talking to D.C. Public Schools Chancellor Antoine Wilson. Lines are still open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Eunice calling from Northeast D.C.
Hi.
Yes, you go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon. Thank you for having an open line to take questions. I have a child in D.C. Charter School, and I was just curious how different, or if you, in what you're doing, will you continue to support D.C. Charter Schools with a very an excellent curriculum that is also competitive to that you're doing in the D.C. public school?
Yeah, so thank you. So I don't directly, as chancellor of D.C. Public Schools, make decisions about the curriculum the charter schools have. I do know that we have, as a district, had created a program, an executive master's program for school leaders, of charter leaders and district leaders through Georgetown to be in spaces, and that'll create an opportunity for them to share curriculum, to share notes, to share the school improvement strategies, so on and so forth. And I'd imagine through that work, it'll be a great opportunity for schools to continue to challenge themselves, challenge students, make opportunities available for students. You know, I'm a student advocate. I want all students to get a great education. It's extremely important to me. And so whether they are a student in our schools that we directly run or they're in a D.C. charter school, it's important to me that they get a great education. They're challenged. They're taught by people who love them, and they're prepared for college and career.
Okay. Eunice, thank you so much for your phone call. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Last week, D.C. Public Schools remained open during the inclement weather that we had while some other districts closed their schools. Why did you decide to leave schools open?
Well, I think first and foremost, we want to, whenever possible, make sure the school's available for our students. And, you know, we as a city had several calls along the way looking at information as to what was going to happen. And, you know, we had thousands of students who came to school that day. We wanted to make sure that they had as close to a regular routine as possible. Also, I would just say that we knew we were going to need to have a delayed schedule. And so we did that along with the rest of city government and also the federal government. And because we did so, we were able to make sure those students did get as close to a regular routine as we could provide, as well as lunch. And then also many of those students depend on supper, depend on us for supper opportunities. And we were able to make sure those students who depended upon that were able to get that.
Last week, President Trump released his budget. There are proposed deep cuts to the Department of Education, and you mentioned earlier in this conversation about, you know, some of the federal resources. If the president has his way, there will be fewer federal resources. What is your opinion about that, and how would, let's say, that $13.5 billion were cut from the Department of Education, how would you handle that?
Well, I think a few things. Let me just say this. I have huge respect for the office of the president. It's an extremely difficult job, obviously, and I have great respect for it. That said, cutting programs such as 21st century after school programming, cutting programs to support teacher development, supporting cutting programs such as the Office of Civil Rights, which uphold the equity for so many students in our school districts across the country, are just things that, you know, I don't personally agree with. And I think that it's important to understand that, for instance, 21st century programs, it's not just a nice place for students to get an education. Many parents are depending upon their students in those programs while they're working. But it's also, these are programs that support students with their academics, that support students with social-emotional skills, to support students with their overall development as people. And many people go on to college because not just what happened in their school day, or go on to careers not just because what happened in the school day, but because of the coach, because of the tutor, because of the mentor, because of the experiences they were able to be exposed to as a result of these programs. And then the teacher development work is vital to our ability to continue to train and develop teachers. And so for so I can go on and on and on, but I think it's important that we find ways to invest. And when I hear comments that dollars don't play a role, I would just say that those are individuals who are saying that they've not spent time significantly in public schools. And I invite those individuals to come spend time and meet with parents, meet with our teachers, hear directly from our students who I meet with regularly, and they will tell you and speak directly as to how those programs help. And I'd even be make some, we'd even be willing to make some graduates available, young people who no doubt have gone on to college, are successful, and they will speak to how many of these programs and these initiatives and these investments help them along their way.
Last month, a couple of schools had an issue with bed bugs and rats. Is that done? Is there something that you may be looking at now to make sure that we don't see any kind of severe issues happening in any of the other schools in the district?
Well, one of the things that, you know, I didn't expect when I started was to be dealing directly with this issue in terms of the scale. Every place I've been in, every urban city has had challenges with infestations from time to time. And we have a protocol where we go in and we address those issues rather quickly. The city has had that protocol. In the case that you're referring to, we had a situation where they were addressing the issues, but the scale was such that it really required that we escalate the response. And I think we've resolved that issue in that school. We've worked extremely hard to make sure that that those issues are addressed. And, you know, I think that our efforts to communicate around that, but also specifically to schools across the district, that if they suspect any concern, to let us know. And, you know, I feel like I was getting information regularly, I shouldn't say regularly, but occasionally from some schools that had concerns. You know, I think that has cooled down in the last 4 to 5 weeks.
There was also last week near an elementary school, there was a shooting, obviously very close, and school safety probably more than anything else is paramount for teachers, administrators, parents. You've come from one urban school district to the next. Security and safety is a big issue. How are you going to address that?
Yeah, thank you. I can just share, unfortunately, as a career educator, as a teacher, and as a principal and superintendent, and now chancellor, I've had to far too often deal with issues of student safety, not necessarily just in schools, but around schools and impacting our students. And it's one of the worst things that we can have happen. I do want to appreciate the staff in DCPS and our school specifically, who, when these incidents come about, they, our teachers, our school leaders, our staff work extremely hard to maintain safety. I think that for us, we want to make sure that we have really great relationships with the community, that they understand the importance of the protocols and the procedures that we have in school. I think it's about making sure that our educators, our staff, our security, they have really great training and they can work on issues of de-escalation, but then also understand the importance of being vigilant in terms of addressing issues that may come up, making sure that we have really great communication with parents when we do have issues, and being unapologetic about efforts that we are going to have as a district and as a city to make sure that we're doing everything we can to promote safety. You know, it is a citywide coordination that we have here around these issues, and I know that it's extremely important to the mayor, to the city council as well, and also to just everyone involved, that our schools are safe places for our students to learn, and then also for our parents to come in and access, because safety extends beyond just what we have available for our students and teachers, which of course is paramount and extremely important. We want our parents to feel safe coming to our schools as well and supporting their children, and so we're doing everything we can in that regard to make sure our parents know that the schools are safe.
What has surprised you since you've been here? I know that you've been traveling, trying to visit schools during the past 3 months or so. What has struck you? Have you had an aha moment or as it relates to the district as a whole? Was there a I didn't know that moment?
Well, you know, I knew that there was a lot of work and a tremendous amount of dedication has been put into the school system. I knew that. And I knew that there was alignment around the importance of the school system and educating students. I think that the part that you can't truly understand and appreciate until you're here is just how deep that is and how much of the engagement will be around issues related to schools. I mean, I've had a number of community engagements. Even before these community engagements, I had several school engagements. And, you know, many times I had standing room only and engagements. I mean, 8 or 9 of those just standing room only engagements. One on a Friday night, cold, rainy night. And parents packed Thompson Elementary School to be there to engage with me. And so you have to kind of be here to hear that passion. But the other thing that I will just say that has been really surprising is in most of the engagements, I've heard people talk about student achievement, but also the need to address equity and do everything we can to make sure that a student achievement is shared across all 8 wards. And that there's not differences in terms of opportunity. And so people come at it from different angles, but that has come up every time. I'm glad to hear it because that's something that we definitely are going to be paying attention to and continue to think about how we accelerate progress for students who need it so that because they're further behind, while we also support students who come in to us at or above grade level.
Well, I want to thank you, Chancellor Antoine Wilson, for coming in and spending some time with us. Looking forward to seeing what you do and certainly looking forward to more conversations down the road. So again, welcome to Washington, D.C., and good luck to you.
Thank you. I really appreciate you having me.
Absolutely. That is The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141 for this Monday, March 20th. I'm Harold Fisher. You can follow me on Twitter at HFisherWHUR or at DailyDrumWHUR. Now, stay tuned for The Connection with Lorna Newton. Good night.
The Howard University Radio Network is WHUR 96.3 FM, WHUR World 96.3 HD2, student-run WHBC HD3, GlassHouseRadio.com, SiriusXM Channel 142, HBCU, and SiriusXM Channel 142.